Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I titled this God's Timing, but the verse that we're really going to land on is Don't Awaken Love Too Early. And that's in this book, in these eight chapters, three or four times. Okay? Don't awaken love until it's ready. Don't awaken love too early. One of the greatest struggles that we have in our culture today is patience. Nobody wants to wait anymore. You want fast food, okay? Instant downloads, same day shipping, immediate answers. And then unfortunately, a lot of people approach love and approach their life the same way. You know, I get in there, get it fast. Culture teaches if you feel it, follow it. If you want it, pursue it. Your emotions should guide your decisions, you know? But Scripture, if you look at Scripture, it teaches us something radically different. It teaches us that timing matters. And the Song of Solomon repeatedly says, do not awaken love until the proper time. It appears throughout this book. And young love can go really, really fast. I mean, two people get together on a Tuesday. And by Friday, they're already picking out baby names and discussing, hey, where are we going to go when we retire? It's just crazy the way that it happens. And social media has made it even quicker, made it worse. One good conversation, and now somebody is changing their status to in a relationship. And now they have on Spotify or Amazon Music, they have our song list. And it just happens so quick. We meet somebody, and in fact, it's encouraged. Go online dating. You find somebody. You meet. Next thing you know, you're discussing these things, and then you're married. And it's got to happen fast. It's like we're running out of time. And the Song of Solomon celebrates love, but it also celebrates wisdom. And our feelings oftentimes move faster than our wisdom. It's like our heart is going to go before we've actually had time to think about it. And when our emotions outrun our maturity, we end up creating problems. We create wounds. We make messes. So as we dig in today, I want to just kind of land on one verse, chapter 2 and verse 7. And it says this, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. See, what is happening here, the bride and the groom, they're in love with each other, and she's saying like, oh, he does all these things. And so the girls that are waiting on her say, oh, we want this. We want this. And so they are being cautioned. Wait, don't jump in head first. Think about this. Wait until the time is right. Wait until the time is right. And the reason is, number one, love is powerful. Love is powerful. This is what it says in the ESV. It reads a little different. It says, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love. Don't do it. Don't do it yet. And it assumes, that verse assumes something important, that love is powerful. And Scripture never minimizes attraction. It never minimizes romance or desire. In fact, you go back any of the stories, David and Bathsheba, that emotion hit, oh, I gotta have her. And look at the problems it caused. Go back even farther, you had Samson and Delilah. Yeah, he was going to do what he wanted to do. Samson, please tell me what make you weak. Well, if you do this. So guess what? He wakes up and it's been done. Boom, snatches it off. Samson, you lied to me. What really makes you weak? Same thing. Breaks it off. Finally, she says, you keep lying to me. And so he says, gosh, you're making me sick with your complaining. If you do this, then I'll be weak. And so he wakes up, his hair shaved, he's gone, he's lost everything. See the emotion. I want to be with her so much that I paid no attention to the red flags along the way. And the Bible doesn't hide that. The Bible doesn't hide that. God created affection, romance, emotional connections, and physical attraction. And those things are not sinful in and of themselves. Those are gifts from God. The danger is not love itself. The danger is mishandling something powerful. And love is powerful. You break somebody's heart because you're just not feeling it. You see, you don't understand the damage that you've created because you just think it was just a feeling and you're moving on to a new feeling. But to them, their whole life has been crushed. Think about fire. If you put fire in a fireplace, it brings warmth, right? It's like power under control. We enjoy that. But fire outside of the fireplace, it will destroy your home. And that's the way love is. It's got to be smart. It's got to be controlled. In the same way, love inside God's design brings flourishing. Love outside of God's boundaries always brings pain. And you may think in the short term, wow, we got away with this. But you didn't. It will affect your family. It will affect your mental thoughts. It will affect everything about that. And that's the way sin works. Sin works this way spiritually. People waken these desires within themselves that they are not spiritually mature to handle. So this truth here for dating relationships, for engaged couples, for married couples, young adults, anybody that has emotional attachments, understand love is powerful, but there are boundaries to love. One reason I think parents panic when teenagers start dating is not that, you know, my kids, what if they won't be safe getting home or things like that. I think the biggest fear or the thing that bothers parents is we were teenagers once. We were in that same boat. We felt the exact same emotions that you are feeling. And it's crazy. Watching my kids grow up, I think Philip was the only one that didn't feel any of that. It's crazy. Lena, we put a leash on her, and Alex, he broke every leash we put on him. It was just crazy. But we panic because nobody is rational at 16. And for new converts to the church, oftentimes we come in and you know, there are rules and stuff, and we don't know all of God's guidelines and things, and so we just want to bring in our emotions. That, hey, what if God did this? God's forgiven me of all of this, and that grace, yes, grace is important, but it's got to be truth and grace. And the problem is with the grace, it's like, you know what? God forgave you. God loves you. God has prepared a place for you. Now you just go out and do whatever you want. And there are some people that live by that misconstrued gospel. That I don't have to change. I don't have to become a new creation. I just have to, you know, God made me this way. He made me promiscuous. God made me this way. That's not true. God is shaping and molding you. He is the potter. We are the clay. Scripture teaches wisdom. And it teaches wisdom because God understands our human weaknesses and our failings. Another thing about this particular verse that we see is God cares about timing. It says, do not open love until the time is right. And it really literally means until the appropriate time. Biblical love is not merely about passion. It's about timing. We see that in this chapter 2, verse 7. We see it in chapter 3, verse 5. It says this, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. We see it over in chapter 8, verse 4. Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right. In other words, I want to say it over and over and over again because this is a message that we just have to keep remembering. To remember. Throughout Scripture, God consistently works through seasons and through timing. Ecclesiastes says this, to everything there is a season. A proper season for planting and for harvesting and grieving and rejoicing and building and waiting. And it teaches that there's a proper time for romantic love as well. Something could be good and it could be wrong at the wrong time. Example, and we've lived with this. Rain can be good. Remember when we didn't have rain for a long time and everybody was griping and complaining, our plants, and we can't water the grass because there's not enough water, and we were complaining about it. Then what happened? God says, all right, I heard your prayers. He brought the rain. It's like, wow, that's great. We're watching tomatoes go. We got home. We had a zucchini that, I don't know, man. I don't think you need it. I think we're going to make a boat out of it and go float on it. It was crazy. It was all this water in the rain till the point where, okay, God, you can stop the rain now. He's given us what we want, what we need. But rain is good, but floods destroy. And we've seen that with the flash floods. It comes down so heavy and hard, and we've seen cars wiped out. Another thing, fire warms, but uncontrolled fire destroys. So timing matters. And many relationships suffer because intimacy often develops faster than commitment. See, people create emotional and physical bonds before there's some kind of trust. Character is proven later. There's any spiritual unity existing between us, maturity developing. And that's, I blame television too. It's what we see, it's what we hear, it's what we read. All of these things show us that love is quick, love is fast. And even if you know, like in a Hallmark movie, even if you come together with a stranger, you end up sleeping together that same night, then something happens and you break up until it snows and a dog comes, and then you end up back together again and the Hallmark movie is over. Love does not work like that. It's not supposed to work like that. That's a Hollywood version. And many believers struggle because we forget, we refuse. We refuse to trust God's timing. I want it, and I want it now. We want immediate blessings. Well, I prayed to God, but he didn't answer, so I'm just not going to pray to God anymore. We want immediate fulfillment. You know, I've been dealing with this issue, and the elders came, and they prayed, but it didn't work, so I'm not even going to worry about it anymore. But maturity develops in seasons of waiting. I think of our microwave. Microwaves are a wonderful thing. Microwaves are great for leftovers, but would you cook your Thanksgiving turkey in a microwave? No. No. Some things cannot be rushed without somehow ruining them. Third thing, wisdom has to guide our emotions. I know Sandra's Sunday school class is in Proverbs, and it's talking about wisdom. Wisdom, 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 wisdom. To be wise, to be smart, to think about things. Love should include passion, but also wisdom. And that's what the Song of Solomon teaches. Our culture often elevates its feelings above the truth. People say, hey, follow your heart, trust your feelings, love is all that matters. But Scripture warns, the heart is deceitful above all. Emotions are real, but those aren't our reliable guides. Strong relationships have to have more than chemistry. Okay, you could fall in love with one of the most beautiful people ever. And that's what Margie did. She fell in love with me. But at 66, I look a lot different than I did when I was 20, when she first fell in love. So how's that going to happen? You know, if she just based on feelings, she probably would have left a long time ago. But the idea is we are more than just these emotions. It's a covenant. It's a commitment. And young people need to understand this truth, that someone could be attractive, charming, exciting, and you could still be spiritually immature, selfish, unhealthy, and destructive. Wisdom causes us to ask deeper questions. You know what? You know what, I would love to maybe start dating you, or would maybe start a relationship with you, but do you love Christ? I want to know where you stand with that. Do they demonstrate integrity? Are they teachable? Are they kind? Are they faithful? Even inside of our marriages, wisdom matters. Healthy marriages include emotional discipline, communication, Boundaries, patience, humility, these are things that never stop. And spiritually, believers also need wisdom over emotion. Faith will not survive just on your emotions and experiences alone. There will be seasons in your life where your feelings will fluctuate, enthusiasm will fade, your prayers will feel difficult. Wisdom is when you keep walking with God. Infatuation can cause us to overlook some crazy warning signs. You know, sometimes our friends will look and say, like, you better, that person's not good for you. That person lies, that person does these things. But when you're infatuated, you don't see that. You're like, oh, no. Until you find out that you have 47 unanswered texts because you decided to go to Target and you didn't reply. And the fourth thing, God's design for all of this leads to flourishing. The Song of Solomon is not anti-love. In fact, when you get to, I think it was chapter 7, I was reading through again today, and it was like, woo, it's pretty explicit and pretty deep and has some good visual images in there. And so I was reading that, and you see God is not against love or anything like that, but he is pro-healthy love within the boundaries. And the world portrays God's commands like, it's a book of do's and don'ts, and it's restrictive. But Scripture says, no, it's protective. It's protective. God understands our emotional attachments. He created us. He understands heartbreak. He understands temptation and relational wounds. His design is to create safety for us to help us flourish. So I brought this because I wanted to. Kind of do like a little graph, kind of, not a graph, but. The proper thing for us to do, the way God's design works, is wisdom. Wisdom. Before I start dating, before I get married, before any of this happens, I need to prepare. I need to become wise. I need to ask questions. I need to do things. Before we marry somebody here at Three Point Bible Church, they have to go through a premarital course where we talk about some things that may end up being red flags. And when we do, sometimes we hit upon something that the couple hasn't thought about. And if they will see us for premarital counseling, if there comes a time in their marriage where things get a little rough, then they are more likely to seek counseling because it's not like you're broken. It's just maybe you need a little bit of guidance. So after the wisdom, and you start to kind of, you know, feel that person out or whatever, there comes a commitment. Hey, we're going to start dating. We're going to, but these are the parameters that we are going to set for our dating in our lives or whatever. So after the commitment then comes the covenant. I promise before God and our friends that you and I will become one. And it's a covenant that you make with that person. You don't sign a contract and just say like, I promise to be with you until you make me mad or something. You know, it's a covenant. The two become one. The words in the Scripture are that a man leaves his mother and father, and a woman leaves her home. They leave behind, and when they come together, they come together, they cleave, they come together as one. And so there's this covenant that takes place, and it's not just a covenant between the husband and the wife or the man and the woman. It's a covenant between the man, the woman, and God himself, because you are making a promise in front of God to watch out. Then comes intimacy. So wisdom first, this is God's plan. Then there's the commitment. Then there's the covenant with each other. Then there's intimacy. You notice anything different here? Or you notice anything about this? This is the way the world does it. The world starts with intimacy. Hey, got to try before you buy. Hey, you got to do all this stuff. Why do this, you know? Hey, how do I know if we get together and I don't want to be with you? So what they do is they do intimacy first. Out of order, way out of order. Then covenant, maybe we'll get married. I don't know. We'll just have to think about it. So you lack the covenant. You also lack the commitment. And so there is no wisdom anywhere in there. You're running strictly on your feelings. And we do that with everything. Buying a new car, it's the same kind of thing. Wisdom, then commit. Is there a covenant? And then intimacy with that car. Whatever your relationship is, it's got to follow God's order for there to be flourishing. If it's out of order, intimacy, okay, man, it was fun while it lasted. Oh, but now we got some kids. What are we going to do about the kids? Well, you know, I'll see them every other weekend. I just don't want to get married because I don't like you. And it's like we've got everything backwards instead of the wisdom, the commitment, the covenant, and the intimacy. Ultimately, as we are reading this, it points us to God Himself. God's timing. God's timing, because of this, God's timing is trustworthy. God's wisdom is trustworthy. God's boundaries that He gives us are loving. He's not saying, hold off on the intimacy because I don't want you to have any fun. He's saying, no, follow the steps, and when you get to the intimacy part, it's going to flourish. Because you are committed to each other. You are in a covenant relationship with each other, and you are wise. Jesus perfectly trusted the Father's timing. Even when He went to the cross, He submitted Himself to God's will and to God's timing. And many people today are carrying wounds. They're carrying wounds from rushed decisions, unhealthy attachments. Maybe they ignored some warning signs, relationships built on emotion that without any kind of wisdom. And the good news is God restores wounded and broken hearts. That's the good news. And so I want you to ask yourself today, am I trusting my feelings more than wisdom? In this situation, am I honoring God with my timing? Am I guarding my heart wisely? Am I teaching the next generation the biblical wisdom about love? Because healthy love is not merely passionate. It's patient, it's wise, and it is surrendered to God. So this week, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Pray for healing for any relational wounds that maybe you have suffered. Pray for parents today that are raising teenagers. And those of you with younger children, pray over your children daily. And pray that there will be an imitation for them to trust Christ fully with everything. Father, I pray that You would teach us wisdom in all of our relationships. Father, help us to trust Your timing and Your design. Many of us have put the cart before the horse, and we just ask, Father, that You would straighten us out, that You would heal wounded hearts. Father, that You would protect our homes and our families, and that You would help us to walk in love that honors You. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.